right, free-for-all Friday it is. And I think some people don't realize we do this for the whole program, right? Anywhere in America, you can call 877-310-9966. 877-310-9966. You know, Sandy got us on a roll here. She called in from Holt, and we got on a roll there with Steve Doolin here earlier because she called. I had an attorney there. We went right to the man who knows. Now I've got Tim on the line from the state of Missouri. Tim, how are you?
Good morning, Steve. I'm great. I start every day watching you on RAV. I thoroughly enjoy your show.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. You've got a... On RAV this morning, there's a hot headline scrolling across the bottom of the screen that says, DHS says, privacy of migrants on terrorist watch list is greater than public right to know. I would like to know where Mayorkas came up with that idea.
I can't believe that was there. Of course, I don't put those things up, and I'm not even sure. DHS, privacy of terrorists. I'll see how that gets me. Oh, this works here. Tang with me, Tim. DHS says privacy of migrants on terrorist watch list greater than you. You got it. There it is from John Solomon at Just the News. The Department of Homeland Security declined to share the nationalities of people on the terror watch list who entered the United States illegally with a reporter on Wednesday claiming their right to privacy outweighs the public's right to know. Fox News reporter Bill Malugin filed a Freedom of Information Act request that only sought the nationalities of the individuals, not their names or location, just their nationalities, and they denied that. Wonder why that is. Tim. Seems pretty suspect, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. I'm going to share the rest of the article here with the folks now. Thank you.
Thank you
so very much. Really appreciate it. Again, the phone line is open, 877-310-9966, 877-310-9966. Let me share this with you. The privacy interests of the individuals in the records you have requested outweigh any minimal public interest in disclosure of the information. Any private interest you may have in that information does not factor into the aforementioned balancing test. You're asking nationalities, not asking for people's names and addresses, just what country are they from? Are they from Mexico? Are they from China? They're from Uzbekistan. Where are they from? I think that's a pretty fair question. I did not ask for names, IDs, addresses, anything that would breach privacy, nor did I ask for any law enforcement sensitive information. I simply requested only the nationalities of people arrested on the list so the public can have an understanding of where in the world they are coming from. That's a really important thing to know. If the majority of your people being arrested are from Venezuela or China, or Timbuktu, that's probably an important data point to have because you would stop people coming in from that country. If you have a high ratio of people coming from one country that are the problem, you would stop people coming in. The rejection comes as the United States faces an unprecedented border crisis, as you know. At least 736 known or suspected terrorists have been released into the country in the last 12 months. At least 210 known or suspected terrorists have been apprehended and then released. 210 known terrorists arrested and then released into your country by your president and his administration. That's not hateful. That's not Democrat versus Republican. That's common sense versus asinine. Who in the world would arrest known terrorists and say, oh, yeah, you're free to go. Enjoy the ice cream on your way through. Who would do that? And you go back to the one guy who was arrested, and he said, you'll soon know who I am, who had just been released from prison as a terrorist in the Middle East and comes to the United States and gets caught on camera and said, you don't know who I am, you soon will know who I am, as they come to attack America, and we open the border to them. I mean, it's just shameless and insane is what it is. Shameless and insane is what it is. Makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, I can't justify that in any way, but I'm glad Tim brought that to my attention. And that's why I need you, the audience, sometimes to find some of these things, which is why I say go to stevegruber.com, send me an email, say, hey, Groobs, here's what I'm seeing in Missouri, for example, like Tim did. Or he said, hey, it's right there, the ticker on the bottom of your screen. There's that. Unbelievable. In fact, I'm going to send it forward to the folks at RAV so we can have it on the America's Voice Live. And you can catch me every day on America's Voice Live, 3 to 4 Eastern, on Real America's Voice Television Network. We give news a pretty good going over every day, 3 to 4, Monday through Friday. Come join me anytime. Real America's Voice, America's Voice Live. I think you'll find you'll like it. If you like this program, you'll like that one even more, maybe. Just different guests, different mix, and middle of the day. You can relax with me with a cup of tea. How about that? Just trying to make it easy on you. All right, let's see here. What else we got left in the pod? There's one other soundbite I wanted to play here. Yeah, here it is. Bite 7. I want to go back to that, Anthony. I want to get Bite 7 in before we call it a day. With Kamala Harris saying people who don't own homes should pay for some other people to get homes. Does that make sense? I mean, that's what she's saying. Bite 7, listen to this.
We have now proposed that if you are the child of parents who, or you were raised in a family where the folks who raised you were not homeowners, when you want to go buy a home, you will be entitled to a $25,000 grant toward down payment for a home. Again, acknowledging the realities of it all. If your parents owned a home and then you as their child say, I want to go buy, then your parents will likely have the opportunity and ability to say, honey, you don't have to go take out that big loan. I'm going to take some equity out of my home to help you with that down payment.
Sure.
And that's how intergenerational wealth works. But if you start with nothing, how are we going to give people those opportunities? Right.
I guess we'll just go to the people down the street and get money from them, whether they own a house or not. You know, it's like paying off student loans for people that you don't know by people who never went to college. Same sort of thing. Just take money from these folks and give them to those folks. Maybe they'll vote for us. What a great idea. Final thoughts after this.
Michigan Chamber, we're on a mission to help job providers and entrepreneurs succeed. When Michigan businesses can grow and thrive, so do our families, communities, and local economies. We're here to protect, to connect, and to strengthen. That means powerful advocacy from our top-ranked lobbying team, virtual and in-person events to make connections and support your learning and training needs, and proven product and services to help save you time and money. Join with us. We're stronger together.
To learn more about the Michigan Chamber or how to become a member, visit michamber.com.
Does retirement have to wait until my 70s?
Is a great college for our kids?
Out of the question?
Is the American dream?
Out of our reach?
Not if we can help it. We're the National Endowment for Financial Education, a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping people just like you get smart about their money. Log on to smartaboutmoney.org today and start taking control of your financial life. Help is closer than you think.